Lord, that we have an opportunity to gather together. Lord, terrible weather outside, and Lord, everybody's told they can stay home, and we've got so many here, it surprises me. Many could not make it, Lord, that, you know, have difficulty driving at night, let alone when it's a monsoon potential. Just pray, Lord, that you'd bless each person here, each person at home, and each person that hears the voice that I put forth to glorify thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are in 1 John chapter 4, and we looked at trying the spirits. The last message was called Try Those Spirits. And that's in 1 John 4, 1. We're in verse 2, but let's go ahead and read verse 1 again. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And that's just amazing to me. I mean, believe not every spirit. Starts out with a negative. It's like, look, that's a warning. There are spirits out there that are out there to destroy your walk with Christ. Destroy your soul. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Now, notice it's not every person that confesses that, because you can confess that and be lost. Every spirit that confesses it. Now, it's not just acknowledging it. It's confessing it also. And there's a big difference between acknowledging and confessing. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that's the spirits, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now that's encouraging to me. No matter what you get out of tonight, and tonight's message is greater is he that is in you, because the devil's in the world. The evil spirits are in the world. If you're saved, you've got the Spirit of Christ living in you, and greater is He that is in you than anything out in the world. That's phenomenal. That means you take Christ wherever you go. That means you have power to seek out God's will in your life and find it and do it. And boy, it's exciting to see. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits there, spirit of truth, spirit of error. How do you differentiate between the two? Because those that are out in the world, they speak about the world. They lift the world up. They say, hey, this is what life is about. Get all you can, all the gusto. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Smoke and do whatever, you know, just fornicate, whatever it is. Just enjoy yourself. And you know, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. It's not long lasting. Somebody that commits adultery, you know how long that lasts? The joy? You say, oh, it lasts for weeks and months and years. No, it does not. Sooner or later, it'll haunt you. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your relationships. It'll destroy your trust. If your spouse finds out, it'll destroy your the trust from he to she or she to he. So you look at the thing in the world. Now, let's go on back to verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. In Luke chapter 8, if you would turn there. Luke chapter 8. Some spirits come to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 28. When he saw Jesus, this is the man with the devils coming out of the tombs, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him, and they, notice that, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, and then he puts them in the swine and so on. Notice again, when he talks, he says, their legion, they, them pronouns. Anybody, individual that wants a they, them pronoun needs to look in the Bible and see the only time you got the confusion in pronouns is when they had a legion of devils in them. Now, I'm not saying everybody's possessed. There's a lot of people just confused. And you need to pray for them. You need to love them. You need to care. You need to, you know, you need to do all those things. I went to Tallahassee and spoke before one of the committees, and I started out with, we need to love them. Because they say we don't. I don't like them. But I love them enough to do what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the gospel. I love them enough that I tell them about Jesus. I don't love them enough to hug them. Just don't want it. I don't want to shake their hand. You know, not because I don't love them. Because I don't want to shake their hand. I'm concerned about that. There are many diseases that are passed from one to another. And you say, what disease? Well, how about AIDS? You say, well, AIDS only comes... I don't care how they say it comes. They told us that COVID could be blocked by a little mask. Do I trust the government? No, I don't trust them. So it isn't that I don't love. It isn't that you don't love. It means you love... Here's how you love. You love because the truth will make you free. Do you love them enough to give them the truth to make them free? If you love them like that, then you're all right. Doesn't mean you have to accept them. Doesn't mean you have to condone behavior. Doesn't mean you have to say, well, what you're doing is okay, and I think you should propagate that belief, and I think the whole world should be like you. That's none of what reality is in Christianity. The Bible's against it, and it is very clear what it says. So, look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, look at, let's see where we need to be. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Talking about handkerchiefs and... But there were, in verse 13, there were some vagabond Jews, exorcists. And they took upon them a call to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. You know, I can't imagine ever getting up here and saying, you know, I preach the Jesus that so-and-so preached. But that's what they did. Why? They didn't know him. You know the Jesus I preach, the one that I know. The one the Bible tells me about. I don't need to go in there and go, well, my authority is in a man. I don't care if it's Paul. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? Boy, that's a tough question. I know Jesus, I know Paul, but I don't know you. Who are you? Verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded, and this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, and fear fell on all of them in the name of Jesus and all of that, But the question is this, listen, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but I don't know you. And that's a spirit saying that. You better make sure you know Jesus, and the Jesus you preach is the Jesus of the Bible. I hear people say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, do you forgive? Do you love your brother and sister? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? I hear a lot of people that say they love Jesus, and they don't have a clue what loving Jesus is all about. Loving Jesus is all about loving others. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, let's see where we need to start. Yeah, look at verse 23. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, that's in the synagogue. That means they can be in church too. Saying, let us, you see that plural thing again? Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, now it's singular, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace. See, he acknowledged him. They acknowledged him. They didn't confess him. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He that, you know, you got to believe and confess. It isn't, when you confess, you can imagine, well, you go in, you go, hey, I acknowledge there was a murder. I confess that I murdered that person. Isn't there a big difference? Well, that's what you got here. You got people that are acknowledging, you got spirits that are acknowledging, but they are not confessing. Every spirit that confesseth is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not is not of God. The Antichrist will claim that Jesus was a false Christ and he is now the true one. That's the reality of where we're heading. That's why you have to try the spirits. That's why those that say they're apostles and are not, you need to try the apostles because there aren't any. Those that say, well, I'm a prophet, no, you're not. If you're a prophet, write it down, put it in the Bible, it's equal to Scripture. And if you're ever wrong one time, you're a false prophet. That's what the Bible says. That's the expectations of God. Well, we could go through so many other verses, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that the devil's going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he's God. He's going to be a fake and he's going to try to deceive people. Deception. Is what the devil's all about. There are people deceived all the time. I hate it when I see it, when people claim the name of Christ and are deceived. Because the truth is simple. The truth is not complicated. And what we've got to do is we've got to look at the truth and say, you know, that's the most important thing. His name is so important that when you take the name in vain, you have broken one of the Ten Commandments, right? But it says that he's exalted his name, his word above his name. And again, why is that? That's because if your word is no good, your name is no good. So the word is exalted above the name because the name is impacted by the word. And you know how important the name of Christ is, and Jesus, and God, and Messiah, and the Almighty. But again, you know, the word is above that. In Isaiah 14, it talks about Lucifer being the morning star. And turn over to Isaiah 14. I think I need to delve into this a little bit tonight. In Isaiah 14, because of what it says about the man. I think it's here. Yes, I think it is. Yeah, there it is. So, one time in your Bible, Lucifer's in there, and it's Isaiah 14:12. All the modern versions change Lucifer there to the morning star. Jesus is the morning star. And so in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know, it's all about I. His dominion was under the clouds on earth, but he wants to be above God. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be future brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now remember, Satan has access to God now. He's the accuser of the brethren. He stands accused of the brethren according to Revelation. Day and night. He's going to be cast out into the earth for the 7 years. And then he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's going to be loosed for a season. And then he's going to be destroyed, and that's it. There is no more devil as far as we're concerned. But when he sits in the temple of God, he is the great imitator. He imitates Christ. So Christ, God became a man in Christ Jesus. The Son of God became the Son of Man, right? That is, you know, that is very important in the Bible. He dies on the cross. So what do you think the imitator is going to do? He's going to become a man. That's why this whole thing works out. You look at it and you go, what is this cosmic chess match? Well, when he becomes a man, his vulnerability is just like the vulnerability of Christ. Christ became a man, took our sin upon him, and he died as a man. God can't die. Satan can't die, but Satan has entered Judas Iscariot. He became a man. Judas Iscariot's returning. He will be the Antichrist. He will be the Antichrist. He will go into Judas Iscariot. And then what? Look at verse 15 again. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. They that shall see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? And it, you know, goes through and describes this man. Well, Lucifer's not a man right now, but he will be again. And when he is, Revelation 13:8, 666 is the number of a what? Number of a man, 666. And you could go to Ezekiel 32:32 and read some other things on that, but the point being, look, you're looking at the spirits. If they don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they're not of God. And yet you have people out here in Christendom, we'll call it, that say they can't control their spirit, but the Bible says in Corinthians they can control their spirit. And they're going to do those things, and it's just a terrible thing, all the deception that's going to go on. And again, we could go on, but look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, in chapter 3, verse 8, if you remember, he said back there, he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And then he says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Greater is he that is in you. So when he is in you, indwells you, he destroys the works of the devil. The works of the devil are to control your mind, soul, and body, everything about you. When you get saved, the devil loses that ultimate control, because now you have an old man and a new man. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why a new creature? Because you weren't what you are. And you have the opportunity to live a life that glorifies God that you couldn't live before you got saved. In chapter 5, look at verse 4. We looked at this before. We'll look at it again about overcoming. He said, you've overcome them. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Your faith overcomes the world. So the world throws everything they've got at you. I mean, everything. whether it's people attacking, people persecuting you, people criticizing you, people gossiping, whatever it is, people trying to kill you, even that far, doesn't matter. Your faith overcomes the world. Now, why doesn't our faith overcome the world? Because we don't. Greater is He that is in you. That means nothing if you don't tap the power. I'm thinking of a verse in Ephesians. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's the power? What is the power that worketh in us? That's the Spirit of God. When you submit to the Spirit works through you and enables you. If you don't, He doesn't. Greater is He that is in you than He is in the world, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans, unless it means a hill of beans. You have to incorporate the thing. This isn't a vacuum. And then it goes on, they that are in the world, in verse 5, 1 John 4, 5, they that are in the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. I can talk to people and I can, you know, my spirit bears witness with their spirit that they're a child of God. I can know the spirit many times of who and what I'm talking to. I mean, it says you can know the spirit of truth, spirit of error. How do you do that? Well, the closer you draw to Him, the more you become Christ-like, the more that you allow Him to control you, the more you are able to tap that power within you. You know, I guess I should have entitled the message, Tap the Power. You know, that would be 21st century title. Tap the Power. Listen, it's important. You know, I can't overemphasize it. Look at, let's run a couple of references. I wasn't sure I was going to do it, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You remember the man that had his father's wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It was somewhat of a verse 1. It is reported commonly there's fornication among you, and such fornication not as much as named among the Gentiles. One should have his father's wife. And then he says in verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So you have somebody that is living in sin, and Satan has his flesh. You know, Satan can have your flesh. And it's just something you have to decide. Am I going... Now, you can't do this and go, well, you know, I'll give him that area, but I won't give him that area. You got to decide how much are you going to give him. I don't mean you say, well, I got to give him 100% or it's no good at all. You can't give 100%. But it's all about the heart. What is your intent? God looks at the heart and He says, the intent is to submit to me, to give all. And because of that, God blesses that. If you say, well, I'm gonna keep back part, you just might as well keep it all to some degree. I mean, if you're looking for a changed life, transformation, that's what I want. I want to continue to grow throughout my whole life. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is another story that we need to glean from, you could say. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession. Verse 2, they kept back part of the price, his wife also privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they're hypocritical. In other words, your stuff is your stuff. It doesn't, you know, you say, well, it belongs to God. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. But the point is, God gives you liberty. And He says, your stuff is your stuff. And if, in this case, they had what's called the Apostles' Doctrine. This is part of it. They had all things common. You'll read that in chapter 4, chapter 3, and so on. So they were supposed to sell all their belongings, and they almost had a commune. Communism comes from this. Karl Marx went to seminary, and he got some of his beliefs from this right here. Sell what you've got, and it's all common amongst the proletariat or whatever. But they lied. And he says to him, verse 3, but Peter and Ananias, you know, said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? See, they said they sold it for this amount, but they lied and sold it for more, and they wanted to, you know, they didn't have any faith. So they kept that portion. They said, we sold it for this. We sold it for this, but they sold it for this, and they kept this. And then, you know, they're going to drop dead. But notice the point. Why did Satan fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's the point. Listen, Satan can get your flesh, 1 Corinthians 5. Satan can get your heart, cause you to lie to God. Now, let me tell you something. You can lie to God all day long, and it's not going to get you anywhere. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Peter rebukes Jesus in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but the things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. You know, when he said, get thee behind me, Satan, a lot of people think, well, he's talking to Peter. Peter said that. Peter said, hey, don't go to the cross. And he looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. That's not what's going on here. Peter's standing before him, and Jesus needs to be in between Peter and Satan. So Peter's standing there, Satan could be right here, and he says to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. So now Satan is behind Jesus, and Jesus is intervening between Peter and Satan. So you might never have seen that, but that's reality. Get thee behind me, Satan. He is talking to Satan. Satan has a mouth. Satan has a goal. He wants your flesh. He wants your heart. He wants your obedience. He wants everything he can get out of you, and he gets it out of a lot of people in Christianity. I've seen some of the most evil works done by Christians, mainly because I'm around Christians more than I am, you know, wicked, evil people. I've never been around a Hitler type or a Stalin type or a Mussolini or a, you know, any, you know, I've been some that I thought were, but just kidding. I've never been around, I'm around Christians. And I've watched Christians do some of the most wicked and evil things. None of y'all in here, or if you're at home from church watching, none of you all either. But I've seen some bad things done by Christians. To Christians. You've never been hated till you've been hated by a Christian. I've always heard that saying. Do you know that's true? A Christian can hate you more than a lost person. Because I don't know what it is, but man, there's a spiritual animosity. Once you turn your flesh, once you turn your heart over to Satan, one of the greatest indicators of that is how good can you hate? If you're a good hater, you know, your stunted growth for life, spiritually, you're stunted for life. You have to learn to forgive. You have to learn not to hate. You know, it doesn't say hate your enemies. It says love your enemies. How do you love them? A lot of times turn a blind eye. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We've got two more I want to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 3. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest. He talks about being rude in speech, but there he mentions, look, you could receive another spirit. I don't mean you can be possessed. A Christian can't be possessed. Not a true Christian. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, that in the world can't possess that which God possesses. It doesn't say greater is he that is in you than he that's beside him. He distinguishes between the two. But he wants your flesh. He wants your heart. He wants your spirit. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, and with this we'll go ahead and close. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talking about an elder. Make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah, look at verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. So nothing wrong with marriage. Marriage is honorable in all things, the bed undefiled. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's pretty good advice. For some are already turned aside after Satan. See, Satan tries to get your attention, and if you're not careful, he'll get your attention and turn you aside. So he wants your flesh, he wants your spirit, he wants your heart, he wants you to turn aside, he wants your following. He wants everything that is good and godly about you to be destroyed. And we just got to determine that we're not going to allow that to happen. We have to understand greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right, let's all stand together. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Pray for your will to be done in our hearts tonight during the invitation time. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and eyes closed. Mm-hmm.